Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, we give you thanks. We thank you for your loving kindness and for your tender mercies. We thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Lord God, we ask you to be among us as you promised that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. So, Holy God, we give you thanks. And so now speak a word for us this day, a word of love, a word of forgiveness, and a word of reconciliation. Because we have been reconciled to you through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Speak now, Lord God, for we are listening to hear a word from you. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength, you are our Savior and our Lord. Amen. I was thinking for a moment of the young boy of Zayden, and I don't see his mom. You know, she was sitting there for a moment, and I hope they don't go and try to beat it out of him. You know, when I was growing up, you said something like that, they'd want to beat it out of you. Do you know that, friends? I'll say, what are you saying? You're possessed. We're going to beat it out of you. Don't do that now, because there's a lot of kids who wanted to be angels. Said they were going to be angels, and they did not grow up to be angels. So let's hope it's just a transition. Oh, thanks be to God. I'll have to put that in my book. Because as you remember that show with Art Linkletter, I'm aging myself. The young people are gone. They wouldn't know, right? And it would say, children say the darnest things. I was trying to remember the name, right? And children certainly do, don't they? And they just speak, and he thought about it, and God bless him. I'm praying for him that I'm going to get some holy oil for him next week. I'm going to anoint him from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. Anyway, my sermon title today is Love, Forgiveness, and Reconciliation. And I want to begin this, I'll bring you this reflection from Dr. King, last Sunday in February. And it's a good short reflection, and it says, in a sermon written in a Georgia jail and preached just after the bus protest in Montgomery, Alabama, Dr. Martin Luther King said this about loving your enemies. After noting that hate is just as injurious to the hater as the hated, Dr. King says, of course, this is not practical. Life is a matter of getting even, of hitting back, of dog eat dog. My friends, we have followed the so-called practical way for too long a time now, and it has led inexorably to the deeper confusion and chaos. Time is cluttered with the wreckage of communities which surrendered to hatred and violence. For the salvation of our nation and the salvation of mankind, we must follow another way. This does not mean that we abandon our righteous efforts. With every ounce of our energy, we must continue to rid this nation of the incubus of segregation. But we shall not, in the process, relinquish our privilege and our obligation to love. While abhorring segregation, we shall love the segregationist. This is the only way. This is the only way to create the beloved community. And Dr. King really believed that love was the way, no matter what happened. And this brief reflection is taken from A Treatment of Hope, the essential writings and speeches of Dr. Martin Luther King, as quoted by Chuck Queen, love your enemies. And so we see that some of the great leaders in the world have really espoused love, even in the sight of very difficult situation, of persecution, of hatred. They have espoused love, and love is the most excellent way. And today, It is amazing that the election, of course, when they put an election together, it's 2 years ago, would want to bring this up because we as a people called Methodists are away in St. Louis, and some of you will see it in the paper, and trust me, people stand with their beliefs, and they should. And if those of us who believe that the Bible is the Word of God, and we are going to believe that until our last breath, and others who believe that it should be modified or whatever, or just not relevant or not or whatever, the fact is at the end of the day, whether we agree or disagree, we still have to love each other. Doesn't matter. The Bible, people, our Christian faith have had isms and schisms forever. This morning, you know, a training teaching on Acts, I did show them how Paul was there arguing with the Jewish Christians and now the Christians about circumcision. And now that was a big thing in the early church, you know, in Paul's time. About being, should folks be circumcised, should folks be not circumcised. No one is going to, at my age and my time, and I've walking this journey with the Lord for over 60 years and reading His Word, He's going to change my opinion, change what I believe, and God's Word is going to stand forever. But doesn't mean that we cannot love each other. Love, forgive, and reconcile. And so we want to be reminded of that, that no matter what, we agree and disagree on, we can still show love and not hate. Because hate eats at the heart. And hate gets us nowhere. And people who harbor hate, they're miserable folks. They're people who harbor it so much, they just spew it out. They tell everybody, and we wish they would turn that energy around to what? To spread love. This story of Joseph, you know, the story of Joseph and his brothers, it's a story that we should all have learned in Sunday school, right? For those of us who went to Sunday school. I'm wondering if my mic is on. Yes. For those of us who went to Sunday school, we should know this story of Joseph and his brothers. I'll just give you an hint. That Joseph was the coat of many colors. You all know that story, right? Don't you all know that story? Am I the only one who went to Sunday school in here? Right? We tend to know that story like we know David's story, and right? King David and Samson and Goliath. Those are Old Testament stories that we all knew, right? We grew up on. But this story has a great message in it. A great message in this story. And I'll summarize it for you. That we know that Joseph was the second son, I believe. The second son And he was well loved by his father, right? He was well loved by his father. If my memory serves me right, Joseph was the second youngest. I'm sorry. The second youngest, because Benjamin was the youngest, his brother that he loved dearly. But he was the second youngest of Jacob, right? Remember, Jacob will have two wives. I'm not going to give you. He's going to marry Leah and Rebecca, but I won't give you all of that. And you could read that in Genesis 37. And Joseph, he loved Joseph. Jacob loved Joseph, and they said more than any of his other sons, because he had been born to him in his old age. Right? And so he made him an ornate robe. And that robe was we call it of many colors, right? So sometimes when we love one child, none of us do have more than one children. We all love them the same way. That's what we say, right? When you have one child, that's not a problem, is it? Because you just love them or you don't love them, right? We hope you love them all. But when you have a couple of children, you sometimes could show love and you don't realize. So there was a conflict that was brewing, right? Because the other kids realized, they believed that he loved Joseph more than he loved them. So that's the conflict began there, because what? Jacob was just human like the rest of us, right? And so they did not like him, and then Joseph would get dreams, right? The same passage, discussed that Joseph had dreams that angered his brother, because not only did he have this fancy coat, number one, he had the love of his father, number two, he had the fancy coat, beautiful coat of many colors, then he would get dreams. And he probably was telling his brother, I got this dream of this and that's happening. And did they ever dislike him? They hated him. Right? They did not like him because he probably was bragging. You ever have a brother or sister who could do everything right and they're always bragging? Was any of you any of that? Get high grades in school, pass all the exam, moved up. You're just so tired of them talking, right? And you know, you got a C and you come home with your grade and it's an A+ and you're just, oh mom, I got an A+. They just, you know, they just don't like you. And then if your parents favor you, right? My father was famous for that, and he really did favor me, and I was a good student, and he would say things, and that brought some conflict with my sister. Years later, she would say that to me, and I didn't, who would have known, right? That I know Pops always cared for you because you had it easy, and didn't even know, but it brought adult conflict to be able to iron it out. I says what did he know? He's in Jamaica, he doesn't know. But, you know, trying to resolve, but there was conflict. Because she felt that she was the youngest, but she felt that she could not live up to whatever standards I was the eldest, and she was the youngest, so I had standards that was hard on me. My father was very hard with education, was very deliberate. You had to learn, you had to do well. You were the one that we're looking up to do whatever in the family. So whether I liked it or not, I always pushed myself, right? She didn't realize that, you know, so that's what happens. And maybe knowing me with my big mouth, I probably was rubbing it in. You know, you never know. I don't remember these things. So this is what happened with this favoritism. So Joseph's brother despised him, right? And what are they going to do as I summarize? They're going to sell him into slavery, right? When the Egyptians, they were there, they're going to sell him and sell him to the Egyptians. We're going to put him in slavery. They took his coat because they want to get rid of him. You don't want your brother or sister to want to get rid of you. Right? Because they plotted the rest of them want to get. And so one day, you know, Joseph was traveling and he was watching the sheep and his brothers plotted against him and they threw him in an empty well and they got rid of him. But God had a plan. Right? Joseph was brought into Egypt. And Joseph, because of that gift of having been able to have the dreams and working hard and so on, he really did excel in Pharaoh's court, right? You know the story. You remember the story with Pharaoh's wife. Joseph was really a holy man, really served God. He always remembered Yahweh, the God of Israel, because Potiphar, who was the wife of Pharaoh, was trying to get him to do something, to have an adulterous relationship with her. And he ran for his life. Nobody could really get him because he really seeked to do good. He really was a good kid. Good kid. And because of that, he grew in that area. He grew in Egypt. He was over many things. He would interpret the dream for Pharaoh. He became in charge of all the food supply and so on. And while that is happening, he's there for many years. What is going to happen? There's going to be famine in the land of Goshen. Famine where his family is living. And they have to get up, right? Get up and they're looking for food. Because famine and the people are dying. And they would travel, the brothers would travel to Egypt. And here's the story of love, forgiveness, and reconciliation. My God. When they came to Egypt, guess who was in charge? The same brother that they sold into slavery was the man in charge. And the scripture says, and I'm going to just bring this home, the scripture said that when Joseph saw the brothers, except Benjamin wasn't there. Well, Joseph was close to Benjamin because they were the same mother, right? They were the same mother of his father's love, Rebecca, but when he saw them, he realized that that was his brothers. And when you read the scripture, it says he went, he asked his slaves and everybody to leave him, and he went and he cried out. He was so glad to see them. He cried out that these brothers, you know, and then when they realized later on that he knew it was them, they thought he was going to what? There was going to be retribution. He thought they were going to, their brothers thought he was going to what? Kill them. Or put them in prison. And Joseph said, my brothers, come close. When you read that text, it gives you chills. Because the Bible says they came together and he hugged them and he wept. He just held on to them and he said, no, it's fine. Don't worry. What you did for evil, what you thought you did for evil, the Lord used for good. Do you get it? You did something evil. You sold me into slavery. But the Lord has used it for good because now I'm in the position to save the life of my family. Now I'm in the position to give it back, to save. Even you wanted me to die. But God used that and kept me in bondage and gave me promotion in that community so I could turn around and help you. Love. Brotherly love. He loved his family. Then he said to them, go get you my father. Father was old. And he says, bring Benjamin. And they went back and bring all the brothers. And went out, the brothers, all the family and the wives and all the cattle. And they came back to Egypt. That's why the Israelites would be in Egypt. I'm not going to give you all of the Old Testament in one talk. You have the Bible. You can read it for yourself. But that's why they came in Egypt. That's why they're going to be in on the Egyptian punishment many years later after Joseph died and was a new Pharaoh. And that's why they end up there. But we won't get into that. But he not only did he forgive him, he forgave his brothers in that moment. He had years to think about it. Forgave them, loved them, and they were reconciled. Came together. All the pain was gone. And the Bible says for many years they lived and they never died. They never died from starvation because Joseph was able to provide food for them there in that land. I am telling you, what a freedom Joseph. Joseph would die an old man feeling good. He had been reconciled to his brothers. How many of us need to be reconciled to someone? I'm telling you, God will at any moment, at any time. Hate and spreading gossip and nonsense about this and telling your one side of the story and not the other side does not bring you peace. If you are not having God's peace, the peace of Christ, I am telling you, start by being forgiven. Start by loving folks. This is what the text is about today. And so we see that story in the Old Testament. We see that example in the Old Testament of a brother who was really hurt. Right? We see example of in our lives of someone like Martin Luther and many other, Martin Luther King and many other folks, Mahatma Gandhi, many other great folks in history who have been hurt and would forgive. And live their lives fulfilling God's plan for them. But here's what the Lord said. Jesus would take that story. You know, Joseph is the name, Old Testament name for Jesus. Huh? Jesus becomes, right? It would be translated in the Greek. Now we see, what does Jesus say here to us now in the text as he's speaking? Jesus is giving us some more ethical understanding of what we should do, right? So we see Joseph showed love to his brother. Joseph granted his brothers forgiveness and he offered them reconciliation. Can I say it again? Joseph showed love to his brother, brotherly love. Joseph granted his brothers forgiveness and then he offered his brothers reconciliation. That's what he did. That's what we need to do. I'm telling you, it's a waste of time hating people. Because sometimes you hate them and you're talking about them and they don't even know. Have you ever been just so mad with somebody and mad with them and they don't even know? And they're living their life and they look so wonderful and you just look so bad and your life is so miserable. Come on, friends. Am I lying? They look so bad. Your life is miserable. You can't have nothing. You can't find nothing. You can't live. And they're going along, but you hate them and they don't even know you hate them. Well, if I'm going to hate you, you're going to have to know because I'll be telling you every day. Because if I'm going to be in pain, I'm going to want you to be in pain. If I can make you in pain, why would I do it? Waste of time. Because we've got to look about our own heart. But here's how Jesus pushed it. Joseph was loving his brothers. And Joseph was forgiving his brothers. But what did Jesus say? Jesus says, love your enemies. love for enemies. Can you imagine? Is Jesus gone mad? If we can't even love our own family and friends or children, we're going to love our enemies? But here's what Jesus tells us now, taking it to a higher level. He says, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. Oh, can you imagine? Do good to those who what? Hate you? I mean, think about it. Sometimes you say to Jesus, you know that I'm not you, Jesus. Do good to those who hate you. These are ideals that are hard to do. But Jesus is pushing us to that. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you and pray for those who abuse you. Bless those who curse you. Well, you know, we're not doing that in the world anymore. You know, the U.S. and also, I'm talking about where I live. In the U.S. Because people, you know, people cuss and fight people on the line or the supermarket over nothing. Nobody is blessing anybody who's cursing them, right? You know, we have to work at that. People are drawing guns and killing each other over gas stations, over nothing. Over $20 worth of gasoline and things like that, right? How much we need to hear the word of the Lord. He says, and if anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Now, I'm working on if somebody strikes me on one cheek to turn. I'm working on it. And yes, because I'm going to slap you back. I'm going to slap you so hard, I'm going to slap you into heaven. In a heartbeat. Right? I'm going to slap you before I even know that I'm slapping you. Right? And I'm going to tell Jesus it's instinct. Right? Because I'm not even going to think about it. You slap me and it's going to be bam, because I'm what? I'm protecting myself. I'm just saying. So I'm a working process now. Right? I know all of you are saintly. And you're going to say, that pastor, when I'm no longer here and I'm traveling the world spreading the gospel, you're going to say, that pastor, she was going to slap people. But trust me, don't try slapping me and think I'm going to say, oh, here's my other cheek, because I'm going to be, come on, bam. This is my Sunday morning sermon. I'm done now. So I'm working on it. I'm asking Jesus to work on it. You know what, I know what we were talking about once, and I said somebody had entered somebody's house, and she said, and they attacked them, and so on, and she said, what would you do, Pastor? I says, I'm going to fight. She says, oh, you're going to fight? I just come here. I said, let me tell you, sister, this Jamaican blood in me is going to fight. And then afterwards, I'm going to go pray. Right? So, I'm working on that. Oh, here goes my mic. The devil is telling me I'm being bad. Right? I am going to be defensive. So I'm asking the Lord to help me with that one. Right? Because it is human nature. But striking does not always mean physical. Right? It doesn't always mean physical. Right? I'm giving you an emphasis so you could see it visually. It means sometimes somebody will say something terrible about you. And you don't have to say something terrible about them. Huh? You could stop it there. You could swallow your pride, right? It doesn't always mean physical. You know, people can strike you with words. One of the great weapons is our mouth, right? We could say terrible things about each other in words. So that can happen. So I would say, you know, we could at least achieve that. That part I have achieved. When someone will say something terrible and I want to retaliate by saying something terrible, most likely I won't. I tend to go and pray about it because I realize it is just making me sicker and sicker and sicker because I'm getting into the gutter with them. Don't let people drag you into the gutter. Right? They drag you into the gutter. We don't want to do that. He says, give to everyone who begs from you, and if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask them for it. So there are areas that we all have to look at, right? He says, do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? What Jesus is saying here, it's easy to love your children. It's easy to love. I love little Maddie. I love her so much, my grandbaby, and she's cheeky, and she would spend a couple of days, a day with me or so, and she could say things. She's so cheeky and smart and can act up, but I love her, right? The harder thing is to love, is to what? Love your enemy. Right? No matter what she does, I'm going to love her, right? But the harder thing, so Jesus says, what is there? He says, if you do good, he says, for even sinners do the same. Even sinners love their children. And we are no longer sinners, we are Christians, we are followers of Jesus Christ. So he's telling us we have a higher ideal, right? If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? That means if you do the obvious, friends, when you're expecting the result, what credit is that? It's when you do the hard stuff. It's when you love somebody who has really done something terrible to you. It's when you have to forgive your ex-husband, or forgive your ex-wife, or forgive somebody in the family who has hurt you. It's hard when you've been hurt. That's what Jesus is saying. It's very hard when you, but we can do it in Christ and through Christ. So the Lord is reminding us of that today. And he says, forgive and you will be forgiven. I'm telling you, friends, somebody once wrote some letter and sent it here to me and says, are you always talking about forgiveness? I didn't respond because they didn't leave a name and address, because when people do that, they're evil. Those are the ones who are really evil. Because if you have a complaint and you're writing it, you need to put your name and address if you want a response, right? But I'll just say, I'm always going to speak of forgiveness, because we have to forgive each other. In our families, in our homes, in our life, we have to seek to have forgiveness. Because guess what? Forgiveness is not just for the person. I am telling you, friends, forgiveness is for you and for me. If I'm holding hatred in my heart, it is damaging me. My blood pressure. Right? It is poisoning my soul. So forgiveness is for us to forgive. And we have to work on it. So friends, this ideal today, these ideals that Jesus is saying, does Jesus think they're easy? No, but he knows that we are going on to perfection, a very good Methodist word, and that each day we could strive for that, to be better than we are in the church, to be better. And this one reflection I read about an English woman, I believe she was English or American, she had gone to, it's an ordinary missionary, honored in India for her forgiveness. And they said, I can't pronounce the last name, but the first name, this is Vishal Magalawadi. I think it's an Indian name, but I'm spending it to pronounce it. A Christian leader from India writes movingly of the impact that Gladys Staines had on this nation. And it was told that Gladys and her husband, Graham, and their sons had devoted their life to serving lepers in India's eastern state of Orissa. Orissa, thank you. And Vishal writes, Gladys was an ordinary housewife, but she stunned our nation by spontaneously, unpretentiously, humbly, and genuinely forgiving militant Hindus for their atrocities. They burned alive her husband Graham and two little children. There was a movie made of it, I hear. The two little children, two sons, on January 12, 1999. In 2005, the government of India honored Gladys with one of our highest civilian orders, the Padma Bhushan, I'm getting better, see? Honors. Why should an individual be given a national honor simply for forgiving murderers? To appreciate that forgiveness, remember that Indians and Pakistan's birth as free nations came with the terrible pain of Hindu, Muslim, Sikh, sectarian riots. About 10 million were made homeless. 1.5 to 1 million people were killed, including Mahatma Gandhi. 50 years of secular democracy and education could not free us from the destructive chain of violence and revenge. Hindu-Muslim clashes have burnt train loads of innocent passengers, leading to riots that last for weeks. Frequent riots have reduced Indian Muslims to relative poverty and powerlessness. Any successful Muslim businessman is marked target for the next round of riots. Every sympathetic banker hesitates to lend him money. Gladys' simple act of forgiveness became a national phenomenon because it broke this common chain of cause and effect. In city after city, Hindu, Muslim, Sikh, Buddhist, Jain, and secular leaders gathered to publicly honor Gladys as a saint to emulate. The government of India was simply the last in the line to acknowledge that Gladys Stain is an ordinary woman with an extraordinary spirit, possessed of a spirituality that could heal our nation. This woman had lost her entire family, killed, burnt, and yet she would forgive the murderers. And because of that, she touched the whole nation. Could I do it? Who knows? Could any of us do it? Who knows? But we are reminded of these stories to show the power of forgiveness. And we hope we don't have to experience anything like that, losing our family from true hate. But what we can do is work on unforgiveness. Right? The simple unforgiveness that we live with. That doesn't help any of us. Try love, friends. Try love and reconciliation. Try love. Just try forgiving someone you've been holding on to forever. Try it. And see how freeing it is. How very freeing it is to love someone. To forgive someone. And then to be reconciled. And remember, no one talks about forgetting. Because I think once you begin to love and to forgive, the pain of whatever has happened become less and less. Not that you forget it, but the sting is not as painful. The sting. Today, as Paul says in Romans, in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 13, love the most excellent way. That's it. Loving someone outside of your family. Side of your friends, loving your neighbor, love. Then comes forgiveness and then reconciliation. May God help us to get to that place in our own lives so we could sleep at night, so we could rest better, so we could bring our blood pressure down. Because guess what? We're free. Amen.